Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from John Russell, Ann Ball, and Brian Lynn. Later, we will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, two companies that employ independent workers are taking legal action to block a California law that offers protections to such workers. The ride-sharing company Uber joined delivery service Postmates in the lawsuit. The two companies argue that the new law violates federal and state constitutional guarantees of equal protection and fair justice. The law is set to take effect in California on Wednesday. Supporters have argued that the new rules protect the rights of workers who are independent contractors. The law requires companies to provide some independent contractors with the same kinds of work protections and benefits that employees receive. In addition to Uber and Postmates, the lawsuit includes two independent workers fighting the law. California Governor Gavin Newsom signed the law in September. It has brought greater attention to the rights of independent workers. The California law is seen as a possible model for future legislation in other states. Companies like Uber, Lyft, Postmates, and others depend on the state's estimated 450,000 contract workers to work as drivers to keep their businesses running. The workers are considered independent contractors. They choose which hours and days they want to work. The lawsuit argues that the new law covers some industries, like ride-sharing and delivery, but not others that operate similarly. It also states that the rules violate workers' rights to choose how they earn a living. The lawsuit also argues that the new law harms companies providing independent services by denying their constitutional rights to be treated the same as others to whom they are similarly situated. The lawsuit described a study that suggested the law would increase Lyft's operating costs by 20% and cut the number of drivers in California by about 300,000. Democratic state lawmaker Lorena Gonzalez of San Diego helped write the bill. She said, "The law is meant to extend employee rights to more than a million independent workers who lack benefits. Those benefits include a minimum wage, paid time off, and medical coverage." Gonzalez noted that Uber had sought to receive exemptions to the law when legislators were working on the bill. Uber joined Lyft and DoorDash in promising to spend $30 million each in an effort to have the law overturned by voters during the 2020 election. Gonzalez said in a statement, "The one clear thing we know about Uber is they will do anything to try to exempt themselves from state regulations that make us all safer and their driver employees self-sufficient." She added, "In the meantime, Uber chief executives will continue to become billionaires while too many of their drivers are forced to sleep in their cars."
The United States government recently proposed new rules designed to improve transplant operations. The goal is to ease a severe shortage of kidneys and other organs. The shortage is so severe that more than 113,000 Americans are on the transplant waiting list, and about 20 die each day. Part of the problem is this. An Associated Press study recently found some organ collection agencies miss opportunities that could have saved lives. Some of these groups secure donors at half the rate of others. The U.S. government currently has little way to directly compare organ collection agencies and force poor performers to improve. The rules come after President Donald Trump ordered a reworking of care for kidney disease. Under the proposed rules, Medicare, the National Health Insurance Program, would rate the performance of organ procurement organizations, or OPOs. No life-saving organ should go to waste, Medicare Chief Seema Verma said while announcing the proposals. Organ transplant activists praised the move. Patients are dying, and they deserve better, said Jennifer Erickson about the government campaign targeting OPOs. Erickson worked on transplant policy for the administration of former President Barack Obama. The association that represents the organ collection groups promised to work with Medicare to put the stronger rules into action. The new measures are an opportunity to drive meaningful changes that will increase the availability of organs for transplant and save more lives, said Kelly Ranum, the association's president. Ranum also heads the state of Louisiana's OPO. A 2017 study by University of Pennsylvania researchers estimated that an improved transplant system could get as many as 28,000 more organs for patients. The Trump administration also aims to increase the numbers of living donors. The idea is that living donors should be reimbursed for lost wages and other costs during their hospital stay and recovery. Currently, the transplant recipient's insurance company pays the donor's medical costs, but donors are out of work for weeks while they recover. And not all employers permit some form of paid time off. Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar's father received a kidney transplant from a living donor. When an American wishes to become a living donor, we don't believe their financial situation should limit their generosity, he said. Most transplant organs come from deceased donors. But people lucky enough to receive an organ from a living donor often cut their wait time. Yet fewer than 7,000 of the 36,529 transplants performed nationwide last year were from living donors. I'm John Russell.
Indonesian students are among the lowest performers in Southeast Asia, says a recent report released by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD. The OECD Program for International Student Assessment, PISA, is a test given every 3 years to 15-year-olds across 79 countries. It examines student ability in math, reading, and science. The results from the 2018 PISA place Indonesia in the bottom 10 of the countries. The findings point to education quality issues in Southeast Asia's most populous country. It's a wake-up call for all of us in the education sector or field, said Totuk Amin Sofijanto, a policy expert at Paramadina University in Jakarta.
Indonesia has a large youth population in the country of 260 million. These young people represent considerable possibilities for economic growth. However, education problems can interfere with that aim. Poorly qualified teachers are a major problem. 65% of students PISA questioned said their teachers rarely provided direct feedback to them. The Indonesian government uses teacher ability tests. In 2015, 3 million teachers in the country took the test. The average score was 53%, reported University of Melbourne professor Andrew Rosser, who examined the results. The tests have not been repeated since then. Paramadina University's Sophie Janto thinks they should be. Because if we don't measure this, he said, we don't know where their skills are decreasing.
One in five teachers often misses school, the World Bank reported in 2017. Indonesian teachers also work for low wages and are often appointed as favors to others, Rosser says. Hundreds of native languages are spoken in the island nation, adding to the complexity of its education system. Under military ruler Suharto from 1965 to 1998, the Indonesian school system was highly centralized. But as the government moved towards democratic reform, control of educational policy began moving to local governments. Because Indonesia covers an area of 15,000 islands, this spread makes it difficult to establish national education guidelines or teacher qualifications.
The OECD report notes that Indonesia has made progress in getting children into school. From 2001 to 2018, those taking the PISA increased from 46% to 85% of 15-year-old students. The report says increasing student populations can create weaknesses in school systems. It points out that Indonesia's PISA results have remained about the same since 2001, suggesting the country has been able to raise the quality of its education system. Indonesia's education minister, Nadiem Makarem, told the Indonesian newspaper Kompas that the PISA results should not be packaged as good news. He announced this week that the country's national examination will be reworked to test students on math, reading, and writing skills. Math was a difficult PISA subject for Indonesian students. Just 1% of those tested performed at the highest levels. This compares to 44% in mainland China and 37% in Singapore.
Some resources for math and science study have been reorganized to support other subjects, such as religion. Almost two-thirds of the country's secondary schools are private and offer Islamic education. Students at these schools generally score lower on tests than students at non-religious schools, a 2017 study reported. Indonesia spent about 3.6% of its gross domestic product on education in 2015, lower than neighbors like Malaysia and Vietnam. The amount, however, observes a constitutional requirement to spend 20% of the national budget on education. I'm Ann Ball.
And I'm Brian Lynn.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. The cattle industry started in Texas during the 1870s. With its growth came a new kind of worker, the man who watched and took care of the cattle. These men, who watched the cows and rode with them as they moved across the wild lands, were often young, just boys, and so they were called cowboys. Kay Gallant tells what life was like for the early American cowboy.
People all over the world have seen all sorts of films about the cowboy, and he is often shown in television shows. But the real life of the cowboy is not often shown. His work has been hard, and his life lonely and full of danger. The cowboy has told his own story in many songs and ballads. Hundreds of these have come from cowboys whose names are not known. They just sang these songs as they rode on the saddles of their horses across the cattle lands, or as they sat at their campfires at night. They sang about the things that were close to them, horses and cows and danger and death. Often they sang about the long ride to the cattle markets, where the cows were sold for beef, as in this song called Get Along Little Doggy. Doggy is another name for a young cow, especially one which wanders away from the herd. The song tells how the young cowboy keeps driving the doggies forward. He feels sorry for them because they will soon be sold for meat. But that's their hard luck, not his. And he keeps pushing them on while he sings.
Well, as I was a-walking one morning for pleasure, well, I spied a young cowboy a-riding along. Well, his hat was shoved back and his spurs was a-jingling, and as he was riding, he was singing this song. Whoopie-tie-yi-yo, get along, little doggies, it's your misfortune, ain't none of my own. Whoopie-tie-yi-yo, get along, little doggies, you know that Wyoming's gonna be your new home. It's
early in the springtime we round up those doggies. We cut them out, brand them, and bob off the tails. Round up the horses, load up the chuck wagon, and then throw the doggies out on the north trail. Whoopie-tie-yi-ho, get along, little doggies. It's your misfortune, ain't none of my own. Whoopie-tie-yi-ho, get along, little doggies. You know that Wyoming will be your new home. Well, your mother was raised way down in Texas, where the Jimson weed and those choyas grow. We'll fill you up on those prickly pear briars until you are ready for Idaho. Whoopie-tie-yi-ho, get along, little doggies. It's your misfortune, ain't none of my own. Whoopie-tie-yi-ho, get along, little doggies. Know that Wyoming's gonna be your new home. Whoopie-tie-yi-ho, get along, little doggies. It's your misfortune, ain't none of my own. Whoopie-tie-yi-ho, get along, little doggies. You know that Wyoming will be your new home.
One of the most famous of cowboy ballads is this one called The Chisholm Trail.
Put in the stirrup and my hand on the horn, I'm the best darn cowboy ever was born. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yo, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. Well, I started up the trail October 23rd, started up the trail with the two you heard. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yi, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. Up every morning, before daylight, and before I sleep, the moon shines bright. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yi, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yi. With a $10 horse and a $40 saddle, I'm going down to Texas for to punch them cattle. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yo, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. Well, old Ben Bolt was a fine old boss, and he went to see his gal on a sore back horse. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yi, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. There's a stray in the herd, and the boss said kill it, so I shot him in the rump with the handle of a skillet. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yi, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. Then I went to the boss to draw my roll, and he had me figured out $9 in the hole. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yi, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. Roping and a-tying and a-branding all day, I'm a-working mighty hard for a mighty little pay. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yo, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. Well, I went to the boss and we had a little chat, and I hit him in the face with my old slouch hat. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yi, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. With my foot in the stirrup and my hand on the horn, I'm the best dang cowboy ever was born. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yi, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. Well, I'm gonna get married just as quick as I can, and I won't punch cattle for no darn man. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yi, singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi.
Day and night, the horse was at the cowboy's side. A cowboy was as proud of his horse as he was of his skill in riding him. There is this feeling in the song, I Ride an Old Paint. A paint, or pinto, is a horse of three or more different colors.
I ride an old paint, lead an old Dan, gone to Montana to throw the Julian. Feed them in the coolies and water in the draw. Tails are all matted and their backs are all raw. Ride around, little dogies, ride around them slow. They're fiery and snuffy and are raring to go. Old Bill Jones had two daughters and a song. One went to college and the other went wrong. His wife got killed in a free-for-all fight. Still he keeps singing from morning till night. Ride around, little dogies, ride around them slow. They're fiery and snuffy and are raring to go. I've worked in your town, worked on your farm, and all I got to show is the muscle in my arm. Blisters on my feet and the callus on my hand. Going to Montana to throw the Julian. Ride around, little dogies, ride around them.
fiery and snuffy and raring to go. When I die, take my saddle from the wall, put it on my pony, lead him out of his stall, tie my bones to his back, turn our faces to the west, and we'll ride the prairie that we love the best. Ride around, little dogies, ride around them slow. They're fiery and stuffy and a-raring to go. Ride around, little dogies, ride around them slow. They're fiery and stuffy or a-raring to go.
The cattle herds were driven a very long way to the cattle markets and had to be kept and watched on the open trail for many weeks. And the trail took the cowboys over rough country in all kinds of weather. The wild prairie lands were not friendly to men or animals. It was a lonely land, and the howling of wolves and winds at night made it more so. Across this strange land, no man in the early days of the West knew just where death was waiting for him. A listener hears the mournful feeling cowboys had for the prairie in this song called The Dying Cowboy. He does not want to be buried out in these wild lands, in the lone prairie, as the song says. Still, the dying cowboy does not get his wish. There is no choice. He can be buried only in the lone prairie, in a narrow grave, 6 by 3, 6 feet deep and 3 feet wide.
Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie. These words came low and mournfully from the pouted lips of a youth who lay on his dying bed at the close of day. Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie, where the coyote howls and the wind blows free, in a narrow grave just 6 by 3. Bury me not on the lone prairie. It matters not, I've oft been told, where the body lies when the heart grows cold. Yet grant, oh grant this wish to me. Bury me not on the lone prairie. Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie, where the coyote howls and the wind blows free, in a narrow grave just 6 by 3. Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie. He wailed in pain, and o'er his brow death's shadows fast were gathering now. He thought of his friends and his home but night, as the cowboys gathered to see him die. Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie. These words came low and mournfully from the pouted lips of a youth who lay on his dying bed.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.